Hey, what's up? This is Jack Inslee, host of Full Service Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this show, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
This is Cynthia Cherish Mallorin, Reverend DJ Cherish the Love, and you are listening to Primary Food on Heritage Radio Network. And before I forget, let me tell you how to reach out to me and get my attention on social media, Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, at DJ Cherish the Love. That is spelled L-U-V. And hashtag using primary food, heritage underscore radio, and hashtag Rev Love. So the name of the show is Primary Food, and let me tell you what that's all about. So the food that we eat, consider that, you know, like the food here at Roberta's, our lovely pizza we're watching these people eat right in front of us. Actually, kind of. Every time I turn and look, I get distracted. The wine, the food, we consider that to be secondary food. And primary food is everything else in life that nourishes us before we sit down and eat. So that's our relationships, our job, our spirituality, our physical activity, our creativity. So today I have a really cool guest with me who I feel like is creative and working in food. So it's a great combination of primary and secondary food. My friend, Eris Johnson.
Hey.
She's laughing. You're laughing at yourself.
Because that was a grand, grand introduction.
Well deserved. And with Eris, we've got Trey.
Hey, y'all. Trey here.
Trey is my favorite and one and only assistant. He'll always be my favorite, I think.
Oh.
So, you know what? Let's talk about Eris. Eris is very cool. And she and I work together. We've known each other for some years now.
Yes.
Yeah, we worked at a restaurant.
2011.
Wow.
Yeah.
2011? Okay.
Yeah.
So we worked at a restaurant in Astoria. I was working doing design and marketing for a restaurant called Sugar Freak, and Eris was doing the kitchen brilliance at the time.
I was.
Because Eris's expertise is from where?
From New Orleans.
Ooh,
born
yeah.
and raised.
Yeah, tell us more about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I'm from New Orleans. I've been living in New York for about 15 years and counting, but spent all my formative years in New Orleans, Louisiana.
And who, yeah, Jack likes that. Who were your food or cooking influences when you were growing up in NOLA?
I mean, when I was growing up, I didn't know I had any food influences because, like, just the food culture in New Orleans is, that's just it. You just eat. Mm. So we were just eating. I didn't realize it was a food culture until I moved away
wow.
from Louisiana.
I'm drooling. I'm like,
yeah.
What were your favorite things to, what are your favorite food memories actually growing up?
I mean, eating my grandmother's food, mm-hmm. like eating all the basics, all the classic New Orleans dishes, crawfish etouffee, mm-hmm. red beans and rice with smoked sausage. What else?
Etouffee. Is that how you say it? Is it?
Yeah, etouffee.
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 Etouffee. What's up?
Yeah, and like okra and shrimp. Like, all that good stuff.
My God, I love okra.
Gumbo, right?
Oh, gumbo, yeah. Mm-hmm. How could I forget mm-hmm. gumbo? Crawfish, po' boys, like...
Oh, my God.
All
so
the
good.
Classics.
And all of that, that's for breakfast.
Right.
Actually, what is breakfast?
Breakfast? I mean, when I was younger, it was like corn pops, but like grits.
Oh, my God.
grits and eggs.
I'm gonna gain 10 pounds by the end of this episode.
Just, so you will. Like, just listening. You will.
What about the fried breads? I heard the fried. Is that a New Orleans thing?
Fried bread?
Yeah. No.
Never heard of it.
Okay. another region.
Another region of delicious, okay. Delicious foods. And the foods that, you know, when I go down to New Orleans, there are all these foods that the tourists, you know, go and check out, like the muffalettas and things like that. Is that pure New Orleans stuff?
Or? It is.
It is. Okay.
It is. It is. Like, New Orleans was settled by the French, the Spanish from Spain, mm-hmm. and Africans. Mm. And so the food is a mixture of all those cultures. Mm. So, like, the muffalata and also Italians. There's a lot of Italians in Louisiana. So the muffalata, that's part of like the Italian influence. And then like the way we make certain sauces, mm-hmm. it's like the French influence. The use of like a lot of tomatoes, like that's the Spanish influence.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So like if you go to Spain, you go to Africa. I went to South Africa and had a crawfish bisque with scallops in it. Mm. And it tasted like I was sitting in my grandmother's.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That's very
crazy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So that's so interesting because it makes sense now. So there's the Italian influence. There's the French influence, obviously, yeah. with sauces and desserts, beignets,
yeah.
things like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the beignets.
Yeah. Oh, maybe that's what you were talking about. Like,
yeah.
Is that what you were thinking? The
maybe.
Fried?
No, I was thinking like hoe cakes.
No, that's not our
that's
area.
Not that's not that. Okay, that's not that. Right, come on, get together, Trey.
Yeah. Leave the room.
Get your life right now, Trey. All
right. That's some cakes with a sassy name, though.
That's my nickname at night.
Hey.
Now, when you bring your food back, like, so you bring your food culture up here to New York, like,
yes.
How is it received by your friends and clients?
I mean, people love it. Like, everybody loves New Orleans food because it's different. Like, to me, I think it's like the only like true American food. Mm. In my opinion.
Yes, I was going to say that's a strong opinion.
In my non-biased opinion. Yeah, so people receive it well because just the flavors are different. Like, it's not soul food. It's not Southern mm-hmm. food. It's New Orleans food. It's Louisiana cooking. And we just have a whole other situation going.
That is so interesting. So how do you discern it from not being soul food and not being Southern food? Like, give me a little bit more about that, because that's the first time I've heard that. And I like it.
Oh, okay.
I like that a lot.
Like, I'll give you an example. Like, for instance, like collard greens. Mm-hmm. So I got to New York and like everybody's like, oh, you're from Louisiana. You must know how to cook some banging collard greens. Like, I'd never eaten collard greens until I came to New York. I grew up eating mustard greens, a mixture of mustard greens and turnip greens. Mm. So, like, that's one difference. But, like, if you would go just to Alabama or Georgia, I'm sure everybody's eating collard greens there, even though it's so close. But New Orleans, we were doing something different.
And that's like just a regional thing.
Yeah.
The vegetation in that area.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. Now, see, this I didn't know.
Yeah.
I was greens ignorant. until now.
Surprise information.
Now, this is very cool. I'm so happy to have you here because Eris, you know, I'll tell you, Trey, a little bit about Eris and everyone who's listening. Eris is a very hard worker. She impresses me so much. All the time, and she's so humble about it. But when I think of Eris, I think of rise and grind. Mm. Eris is all about the grind, and I've known her years, and she's like one of the get up at 4 or 5 in the morning, get to work, do her thing, do what she's got to do. And I was so blown away by a couple of weeks ago. She had written, actually, maybe it was a month ago, you posted on Facebook that you had an idea to put out an ebook, an e-recipe book, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, an e-recipe book shows up in my inbox. And I was like, she did it. You know, like, she did it. She was, like, up in the mornings writing this recipe book using spices that she's making. So Eris has this great line of spices called Eris the Chef.
Spice Blends.
Spice Blends.
Yeah. AKA ATC Spice Blends.
ATC Spice Blends. And that's what I want to talk about here, because I love when someone, a woman, takes the initiative to start her own company, food-based company, awesome. Passion, awesome. Dope. And it tastes good. And let's talk about the spices. Let's. What did you bring here?
So,
I just... a taste test here, even.
Oh, yeah, we can do a taste test. So I have a little, I mean, if you want to hear a little background
about the spices. Tell me the story about how you came up with, what made you decide, instead of using spices wholesale or getting spices somewhere else, why did you create your own line?
Well, I actually started creating them at the restaurant we were working at where we were together, just because I was the chef there and it was a New Orleans style restaurant. And so my line cooks in the kitchen were from different places, Italy, Central America, somebody from South America also. And so everybody has all of these different flavors. And New Orleans, the flavor profiles are very specific. So in order to create consistency in the recipes, like, I just had a couple of spice blends. I had what is now my Cajun spice blend. Mm-hmm. And then I also had a different version of what is now my blackening spice. And so, like, let's say for red beans, I'll be like, okay, 2 pounds of kidney beans, 3 onions, green pepper, and then 1 cup of this spice to keep the recipes consistent.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's how I started spice blends, but they weren't ATC spice blends at that time. So I started traveling a lot around the world, and I would come back and be dead broke. So
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Travel equals dead broke. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. So I was like, man, I have to be making money at all times. Like, I need to create something where I could be making money, whether I'm on another continent, whether I'm sleeping. And so I was like, oh yeah, I made these spices a couple of years ago. Like, I could sell those. That ought to be easy.
I love it. And the quality of your spices, do you have some sort of a standard that you want to stick to, or?
Yeah, definitely. All natural, no preservatives, nothing you can't pronounce, basically.
That makes sense.
All the ingredients are just, it is what it is. If I say it's onion, garlic, black pepper, and paprika, that's what's in it. There's nothing special. So if it's lemon in it, it's actual lemon juice, lemon zest. Like, it's no lemon oil with alcohol in it. And it's like
lemon oil with alcohol in it. Ew.
Yeah.
That sounds terrible.
Well, yeah, that's how
that's how it happens
if you buy. Yeah. So it's all natural.
That's the truth about spices in the market.
You gotta keep it simple, you know?
yeah. And I also try to keep the sodium low. Because that's another thing.
Do you have personal stories about health that influence how you create these spices?
Sure. Well, I have type 2 diabetes, and I also have hypertension, which is high blood pressure. So I was eating like different store-bought spice blends, like very common brands. And like afterwards, like I would have like maybe swelling in my feet, or like my body would retain a lot of water. And then after a certain point, they just started tasting too salty or maybe too spicy. And so I'm like, you know, some dishes I'm making, I don't want it to be spicy, but I put this one seasoning in it, and so now it's spicy and I didn't want it to be. So just as a chef, I was putting my own ingredients in, my own blends of spices anyway.
That's so interesting. Yeah. So imagine you had your own spices back when you were working with... Now, Eris has a very cool background, too, working professionally for Danny Meyer, right?
Yeah.
Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah.
To name a couple. Who else? There's so many.
Sue Torres. I worked at Whole Foods Market.
Yeah, which is pretty freaking cool. So imagine you had your own spices to work with, and everything would be so much better in the world.
Do you have any Gordon Ramsay stories? That's the first thing that.
What kind of radio show is this?
What if Jack says, "Earn your curse words"? That's what he says. Earn your curse words.
Well, he's a nice guy,
PG,
right?
I mean, NC-17.
Okay. You know, we go deep. We can
go very deep.
We can talk about it. You know.
All I say is Gordon Ramsay is a very nice man.
Disclaimer.
Yeah. And all, but all of the rest of the chefs that were hired to be in charge of the restaurant, they were very nice people, and they used a lot of adjectives.
You know, just in case the reach is reaching them.
Yeah, just to get their point across. They made sure that they all their points got across. All of them.
So his persona on TV is a TV... I mean, it's a TV thing.
No, that's basically the persona of like most European chefs.
Oh.
That's just what it is, yeah. It's just shocking because America is like, what? Like you said, what to that grown man's face? But meanwhile, right now across the pond, like some grown man is getting shamed.
Publicly. Oh my God. I'm like publicly in the kitchen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so fascinating.
For overcooking his scallops.
Oh, I just got a chill down my back.
It could be a very hostile environment in the kitchen. Am I wrong?
Oh no, it is a very hostile environment.
It could be.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's why I love kitchen stories. Like one of my favorite things to ask is, do you have any like kitchen injury stories? Like,
oh yeah, tons.
Oh yeah. Best kitchen injury story. We'll swap.
I mean, best. Because one time I was basting some fish in a pan, and I don't know, sometimes like basting, so just in case you don't have an idea what basting is, it's basically if you have some liquid in a pan, in this case it was like hot butter and oil and garlic.
Oh, where is this going?
And so you tilt your pan and you just spoon that hot liquid over whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
And that you're cooking over and over. So the motion is kind of hypnotic. So I guess I must have dazed off and like basted my hand.
Oh my God.
Yeah. You still see to this day, it's like still some discoloration. Right here. So like the toughness of being in the kitchen, like you get burned. Ooh. People get burned all the time. But I tell the chef in charge, I'm like, chef, you know, I think this is a bad one. And he's like, oh, you okay, Johnson? Ooh. Like, just keep going. Like, meanwhile, it's like a big, like...
bubble.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm like, bubble, I don't know, chef. Like, I could hardly hold a pan anymore.
Oh, wow.
And so, like, I continued to cook for the rest of that service.
What?
And I think, looking back, it was probably like a third degree burn.
Oh, God.
Okay, but that's not... That's pretty bad.
I mean,
that's pretty bad.
It's normal.
Yeah, like, it's normal.
That's
the culture.
Yeah.
Do you have any kitchen accidents, injuries?
I always worked like kind of front of the house. I never worked in the back house, but I did have a lot of drops. As a waiter, I'm pretty clumsy.
You weren't the chef's favorite.
No, I wasn't. I really wasn't the best in the front. You know, there's this one time where like I was bringing out this whole bottle of wine and two glasses, and someone kind of knocked into me, and I like wobbled with it, and then I noticed that there was like a baby in like a high chair right in front of me. So I basically just like decided it'd be a good idea just like throw it all on the ground like right before I hit the baby. It just smashed the entire thing because I didn't want to hit the baby
with wine. Right. That's
so
a good move.
I didn't want the bottle to hit the baby, so I just smashed it. You know,
that's a really
it looked
good
like
idea.
I was spiking
so
a
those
football.
Were your only that was your
that's
only
a really
choice.
Good idea.
That was in my mind at that moment.
In that moment, that was your
I
only
was
choice.
Thinking that this is how I make the best of a bad situation.
So. And for the visual, everyone, Trey is 6'5".
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Was 6'5", slamming.
It was a long
wine glasses. It was a long
crash.
Trip.
Long trip.
Because that
trip.
Didn't scare the baby.
Is that all right?
No.
I thought it better to scare than injure, you know, someone's child because, you know, preservation of human life. You know,
that's right.
Of course.
We have Jack in the booth there. Do you have any kitchen injury stories?
No, I don't. I only worked at a pizza place when I was a kid, but no injuries yet. I burn myself at home all the time, though.
You know what? That counts.
Yeah, like putting a cast iron skillet like in the oven for like 40 minutes, and then you just go to grab it like an idiot.
You forget, yeah.
You just forget, yeah. I've got a few of those.
And then you burn your mic hand.
Exactly.
Because we know about mics and Jack. Now that we know he's a rapper. So I have a pretty, like, you're going to like this story. I was on a boat, some sort of quasi-cruise ferry thing in Greece.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd sliced my thumb, like, so deep. Oh. Like, really, like, the kind of deep where it doesn't bleed yet.
Mm.
And you just see, like, white meat, and you're like, holy, what do I do with this?
I'm going to faint.
Yeah, I know, exactly. It was like that. And I cut it on my zipper. So the actual metal pull of my zipper snapped.
Oh, wow.
And as I was pulling my finger up the zipper, I just sliced my finger open, like,
oh, wow.
Like,
oh,
an inch long and deep. I'm holding my finger on a Greek boat. And I don't know the word for help or anything like that. So I'm running around this boat, and I'm like showing, and I'm asking for Band-Aids, and no one knows what Band-Aids are.
Right.
So I finally, I'm like, okay, who's going to know what to do with a cut? I go to the kitchen.
Yeah.
And I go, and I'm asking for Band-Aid, wrap, paper,
right.
paper, and I'm showing them my cut. And the chef looks at it, and he makes a face like, hmm. He goes into some sort of a container, and he pulls out a can of white acrylic spray paint and spray paints my thumb.
Oh.
He takes my thumb, shakes the can. I'm thinking it's like first aid spray. Then he sprays it, and I'm standing there with a white thumb.
Oh,
with
my God.
Spray paint. spray paint. And he says something, and I'm trying to wrap it. And he's like, no, like, don't touch.
Oh, he's like, let it dry.
Let the graffiti dry on my finger, right?
Mm.
So I'm walking around. I go back to my friend, and she's looking at my thumb like, what the hell happened to your like, well, you came back with a white thumb,
right.
And I'm like, I don't know what to do. 3 days later, that thing healed.
What?
That's a
so
new one.
My doctor told me that, you know, when you just like manage to keep it shut,
yeah,
like keep it closed, it'll heal.
Oh.
So if you have a Band-Aid on it, you're messing with it,
yeah,
getting wet, this and that. He basically sealed the wound for me,
mm-hmm.
And he knew to keep freaking Krylon.
Yeah.
<on it.
laughs> Oh, that's and a good one.
Spray painted. I mean, I really don't advise. It's probably really poisonous.
Yeah.
But that's what happened.
I mean, you lived. You lived. You're here.
I lived. And that, you know, look at my thumb. You can barely see the scar of it.
The miracle of the body.
You know,
it's
what?
Like kitchen wisdom right there.
Yeah.
And my, you know, my body's been through a lot of chemical weird stuff. Like, okay, so this past year through chemo, my tongue turned blue.
Yeah,
and my taste buds went all crazy.
Yeah,
so that's why I'm so glad you brought spices. Because let's see like where my taste buds are at now. Let's do a taste test.
All right,
what you brought?
Wait, what happened to your taste buds? Though, like, was stuff?
Yeah, you know, chemo and your taste buds. Something happens, and my tongue did one of those things where, like, some people on chemo, their tongue actually turns blue.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and I started to taste metals and things where there was no metal.
Oh wow!
And my lasting, I guess, damage, but it's kind of a gift of a damage, is now I can eat spicy food like never. Like, I can drink a bottle of hot sauce now.
Don't like, do it.
Now, the problem is I have consumed a lot of hot sauce now. Now, my tongue doesn't feel it, but my stomach, bad.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I suffer, but it tastes so good.
Yeah.
In a way I've never experienced
So you
before.
Can taste it, but the heat doesn't
the
bother
heat
you.
Is, there's no heat.
Wow.
And that's not how my life was ever in all
right.
my 39 years before that.
That's cool.
I know, it's cool, but my stomach is like, I hate you.
Wow, yeah. So you could do like some ghost pepper sauce
well,
and
I
everything.
Try that, and I want to do like a hot food competition thing and not tell anyone I've kind of got like...
Do it.
Got the food competition thing
exactly.
going.
Let me manage your career.
So you've got three samples here. Let's see what's going on here.
Yes, I do. So I brought some broccoli to put it on.
All right.
I don't know if y'all want to just taste the spices and do like a blind tasting.
Let's do a
blind
taste.
And kind of see if you could.
I'm going to be honest.
I can see if I could tell what's in there.
Yeah.
I'm good at this.
I'm bad at this. But I'll tell you though, I have had some of Eris's spices because I'm a big fan and I've been abusing your spices at home. this is what I've been doing. I've been, you know that candy fun dip?
What's that?
You know, it's like you stick your that candy in the,
like the stick.
And I've been fun dipping into her spices. it's super unhygienic, and anyone who visits me now is going to know that I'm kind of like abusing the spices. So don't hate me for that. It's just delicious. It's like actually really so good.
That's the that's a ringing endorsement right there.
It is.
It's a ringing. I was like, I'll just eat it.
Just
it
is. My finger. Like it's so good. All right.
Yeah, I'll have to record
it.
You.
So we got three packs. Harris has got here.
Let's see. I'll just sprinkle some. I'll start.
See what we got.
I'll start slow.
I'm supposed to close my eyes, right?
Yeah. All just right. Don't. Just try not to read the front of the package.
So tell us about, you know, when you make your spices.
You probably know this one.
I might know this one. Yeah. When you make your spices.
Mm-hmm.
What's your do you have rituals? Do you have?
I have recipes.
Recipes, yeah. Okay, let's see. I'm going to taste this. Okay, this one is taste delicious.
Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
Oh.
Mm. Ooh. This is my Cajun friend.
Yes.
This is my Cajun friend.
That's the Cajun, yeah.
I know this one because I lick this one like every other day. And this Cajun is really spice. Good. I've been dumping this on kale.
Mm.
I've been dumping it on potatoes. I've been dumping it on broccoli, on lots of things, on rice.
Yeah, kind of designed my spices like the Gap and Old Navy designed their clothes. Like, I don't know if people know this, but like Gap and Old Navy clothes, everything is made to go with everything.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
interesting.
So, yeah, so the Cajun spice is actually a good collaborator with all the other spices.
Mm-hmm.
So what comprises Cajun? Because I taste sweet. I taste the heat.
Cajun.
Can I try?
He's going to try.
Okay.
So onion.
Yes.
Garlic.
Yes.
Paprika.
Yes.
Is there any basil in there?
No.
No basil. Oof. Yeah, that's a big mistake right there. Okay, that's all I got. I got those.
Well, there are no herbs.
No herbs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jack is a big New Orleans fan. Can you guess what's in the in?
He's like, no Googling, Jack.
No.
I'm watching.
No, I haven't tasted it, so I would imagine maybe cumin is in there.
No.
No, not at all.
No.
I like cumin though. Cumin.
Yeah, I do have a keep cumin in mind. Keep cumin.
Mental note. All right.
Yeah. So
well, cayenne's
got to
be in there.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
All right. What is it?
Yeah. So it's garlic, onion, cayenne, paprika, salt, black pepper.
Yep.
Shoot. What else is in there?
Love.
And love.
And love.
It's actually one more, but I won't say what the last
there
one is.
There you go. That's smart. You gotta keep that secret.
Yeah.
Yes.
Keep that
That's
secret.
That's delicious. Actually, what I love about your spices is it tastes so clean.
Thank you.
Yep. It doesn't taste like that, you know, extra funky kind of, you know, been sitting around thing. It tastes really clean.
Like I just made this, like, day before yesterday.
I love it. Let's taste the next one because I feel like I just want to lick my hand.
Cool.
I'm licking my
like some kind of cat or something. Like that.
All right, Miss Fun Dip.
All right, Fun Dip.
Everyone's looking at us in here like, why are they just licking their hands?
Why are these people on the mic?
Why is she
their
opening
hands?
These tiny doing? Bags, sprinkling something into their hand?
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
That's delightful.
Lemon.
Thank you.
That's lemon.
Yeah, there's some lemon in there for sure.
Some lemon and salt.
Oh my gosh, that's lemon salt. What do you call this
one? That's chilling and grilling.
That's my favorite.
Chilling and grilling.
Chilling and grilling.
Wait a minute.
The slogan for this one is some heat for your meat.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go right ahead. Now, come on. No. Okay, wait. Time.
I like that.
Time, definitely.
Oof.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Parsley.
Mm-hmm.
Lemon.
Mm.
Roasted garlic.
Roasted garlic, okay.
Cumin, which you just mentioned.
Jack in the back.
Yep.
I can't taste it, so.
Yeah, no, we got you, Jack. We're going
to save some.
All right. Hit you with some of this later.
And this one other
secret
ingredient.
That you won't tell.
No, I will tell. I just want to see if you guys could taste it.
I can't.
Cayenne? It's not the cayenne, is it?
No.
I can't figure it out.
There's some smoked paprika in there.
Smoked paprika.
But that's not even the
that's
one.
That's not the
okay.
one.
Okay.
There's dill.
Mm. Oh, dill. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, God, so good.
Yeah. Seeds.
All right.
Not dill weed. Yeah.
Dill seeds. Okay.
Yeah.
So, do you crush them up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I blend all the spices myself, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just like in a regular blender? Or?
No.
Okay.
And a spice grinder.
Okay.
Yeah. A spice mill. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Spice mill.
That's so delicious.
Yep, so that's chilling and grilling.
That's that next level right there.
Thank you.
Get yourself a spice mill.
Yeah.
And this one. Last one.
This is the final one.
Okay. Here, wait, I have to clean my hands real quick.
Sorry.
Okay. Oh, I know what this is.
You got this one?
Yeah, I throw this on like potatoes like all the time. I eat a lot of potatoes.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
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 Mm. All right, sorry. If it's not, is there some mustard seed in there?
No.
No?
Mm. That's okay. So good.
That is... Salt? jerk.
That's jerk. Seasoning.
Jerk. Oh, yeah. The jerk seasoning.
Mm. And that has like...
It's so good.
13 different herbs and spices.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I love your blend.
Name knows you a G. Okay.
I love that your jerk seasoning is in super sweet, because I used to have jerk seasoning that was like,
yeah.
I could see the sugar granules in it, and I was
really?
Like, that's
wow.
way sweet.
Is there sugar in there, though?
Yeah.
But just a little
it's
bit.
It's brown sugar, yeah, but mm-hmm. not much, yeah.
Okay. But you're using okay. brown sugar.
Yeah, and then
that's
there's,
nice.
There's also cinnamon in there, too.
Mm.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's
ooh.
So good.
So maybe if you're getting like a lot of sweet... Sometimes
yeah.
cinnamon is like a tricky spice.
But in the past, I had like a subpar quality
mm.
one. So they use a lot of white granulated white sugar as filler.
Mm.
And you know, we get
that's
addicted
rude.
To the sugar. I know,
yeah.
it's so rude, right?
So rude.
Harris is like, that is the rudest thing.
So discourteous. Right?
Yeah.
That is so nice. Delicious. So
thank
you.
You.
Use your spices, and you're working with a cooking program not too far from here.
Yeah, yeah.
So tell us about that.
Yeah, so I work as a freelance chef at a company called Cook Unity.
Cook
and it's
Unity.
Basically, it's a meal delivery, a chef-run meal delivery company. And basically, all professional chefs go into the kitchen every day and prepare meals and their own recipes.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah, and so basically the same day we cook it, you receive it the absolute same day.
Wow.
So, like, you get your dinner at 5. Like, we just finished, like, cooking and packing it at, like, 3.
This
wow.
is so
good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, right
yeah.
now, I'm holding in my hand one of Eris's pan-seared chicken with roasted Brussels sprouts.
Which
wow.
is the number one dish in the company.
Yeah, and it's really cool. So there's a picture of you. There's
yes.
a profile of you on the tag. It says, learn more at www.cookunity.us. And it tells your story on this as well. That's so cool.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
this company is located just... Blocks
just
from
blocks
here.
From here, yeah. Yeah, and they deliver in Manhattan only for now.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so I think from, like, lower Manhattan up to, like, maybe 110th, I want to say.
That's very cool. And
yeah.
I like that it says here it's kids-friendly, nuts-free, soy-free, hormone-free.
Yes.
That's
healthy
like,
meals.
Healthy meals
we
is
use
their
organic
thing.
Produce and everything. Yeah, so it's like, get to know your chef, so... You know, I mean, how often do you go to a restaurant? You have no idea who's in the back cooking your food.
Ooh, right. That's so disturbing. The more I think about that, it is
stranger
disturbing.
Danger.
Food stranger danger.
Yeah.
I love the directions on this. In the microwave, recommended. Pour gravy on top.
Yeah.
Love it.
My gravy is serious.
This
you'll
is,
see. You'll
this
call
is really
me
cool.
after you eat that.
I'm going to call you.
Yeah.
I had a question, Eris. So,
yeah.
you know, from you know, from what we... I feel like from what we see about, you know, like kitchen, like, you know, culture and being a chef, it feels like a very male-dominated arena. And so
yes.
what has it been like for you as a woman, and especially as a woman of color, you know, coming up in this field to being where you are, you know, being
great
the
question.
Top chef?
It's been really, really tough, actually.
Yeah.
Like, because it is a male. It's like a white male-dominated field.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a matter of proving yourself over and over and over and over again. So, like, having to be, like, 10 to 20 times better than everybody else in the kitchen. Mm. So, like, when I worked at Gordon Ramsay, like, for instance, you work on stations. So there's, like, the salad station, the meat station, the fish station, and then the garnish station. That's, like, the side dishes and stuff. And the restaurant was in a hotel. So I started off in room service.
Oh, wow.
So I worked in room service for, like, a year, mm-hmm. making burgers and steaks and roasted chicken and stuff. Then I moved to the salad station. I worked there for a year. But it's like these other, like, little young guys coming fresh out of culinary school, they'll work on salad station like 3 months. Mm-hmm. And then, like, then the next 3 months they're on fish station. Then the next 3 months they're on the meat station. Then after that, they're the sous chef. It's like, wow, you made it.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, meanwhile, I was on the road less traveled and had to stay on these stations longer. But the good part about it was, I mastered these stations. If uh-huh. you making all of these intricate dishes on a salad station, which we had, like, at one point, like, 16 different starters coming from that station,
oh, wow.
like, you become really, really good at it. So I became really, really good at making intricate plates.
Mm.
Oh,
then
that's
I moved
amazing.
To the fish station. Like, I could cook fish, like, I don't know who's the best fish cook in the world, but, like, I cook fish like nobody's business. I could cook meat wow. perfectly. I could make sauces perfectly.
Sure.
So it worked to my benefit, actually. You know, like, they were putting me, like, on the, I guess, the black girl program in the in the European kitchen. But it worked to my advantage because I went from that job as a line cook. I worked there for 4.5 years, and I went straight to my first executive chef position.
Wow.
Which was where I met Cynthia. Yeah.
Wow.
So before that, I was a line cook, and then I went from there to running the kitchen.
Now, how does that look like when you go for a new job? Do you have to, like, audition, or, like, do you have to
cook a bunch of stuff?
Yeah, yeah, usually
cook a lot of stuff.
For chef positions or for line cook, or, well, usually for a chef position,
yeah.
like, you'll have to go and do, like, a tasting.
Okay.
A tasting, so.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cook for them. That's, like, your resume. Your resume could say whatever. It's just, like,
it's what you do in the moment.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool.
But that's an amazing achievement. What are your aspirations from here on, from where you're at?
Well, right now, I'm growing my spice business.
Yeah.
My plan is to get a lot of retail clients. So, like, I want to be in grocery stores. Like, I want to be in a lot of grocery stores, high-end grocery stores, but also grocery stores in, like, low-income neighborhoods,
sure.
just to give people, like, healthier options.
Yes.
Like, you could buy this one that you've been eating for, like, 20 years
yeah.
and makes your ankle swell. Huh. Or you could buy mine, and it's all natural. You
need to make a little infomercial about the ankle swelling.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, we don't think about these, the condiments and things, you know, that we add to our food that,
yeah.
that don't add to our health.
Yes.
This what's the one? Old Bay, right? It's
yeah.
used everywhere. But,
right.
you know, I'm sure they're cutting corners, you know.
Right,
I'm sure
right.
they, you know, they fill it up with, like, a little bit of that extra.
Well,
you
anything
know.
That has, like, a 2-3 year shelf life.
Yeah.
You should have
there
questions.
Very much so.
You know?
Very
so
much so.
It's like, you think about the old days, the way what they used to preserve things before they had refrigeration, they would
mm-hmm.
preserve meat with salt. They would cure it.
Exactly.
You know, they would preserve everything with salt. Nothing has changed. They just have longer names
right.
with salt.
Mm.
So what a natural product like yours, what's the shelf life of that?
About a year for
okay.
most of them. Maybe a little less than a year for the ones like Chipotle lime salt, because
mm-hmm.
like I said, it's like actual lime juice in there and lime zest, and then also lemon herb salt,
so
the same
good.
Thing, actual lemon juice in there and lemon zest.
And whatever you're doing to keep it from the anti-clumping thing.
Yeah.
So I know that in other products they use anti-clumping agents.
Yes.
And you don't do that.
No.
So whatever you're doing to keep it actually dry and, like, powdery, awesome.
Thank you. Just keep it in a cool, dry place.
Oh, it's
shake
that
it.
Simple.
Yeah.
There you go. There
keep
you
it
go.
Out of the sun.
So we don't need all those chemicals.
No, no. But I want to move on to, which soon I'm going to move on to ATC sauce blends.
Ooh.
I want to do sauces.
Oh, yeah.
Next, yeah. And then I also want to do meals, like prepared meals that you could buy in the store.
Well, this is you putting it out there into the so-called universe.
Oh, yeah. Manifesting it. Yeah.
And do you have any travel plans next for more inspiration?
I'm planning to head back to South Africa soon.
Wow.
Because when I was there, I was in Johannesburg last year, and I taught a class at a culinary school. GHB, Culinary and Pastry School.
Do you do teaching here, too?
Not so much.
Knife skills, at least? Because I need some knife skills.
Sure,
classes.
I do private classes. Not out of school, but I do private classes for sure.
If you saw the way I hold a knife, I think you'd...
I would faint, probably.
You'd probably faint.
Just don't hold it like... Don't put your finger on top.
Oh.
Like, that's what I tell my line cooks in the kitchen. Oops. Like, who are you pointing at with your finger on top of your knife?
I thought that was for stability.
No.
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 See, I'm over here like, no. Yeah. I don't know what I'm talking about. I really don't.
We could do a knife holding class right now. Okay. I'm left-handed. So basically, this is your blade. This is the other side of the blade. And this is the handle. So you want to have...
Bottom. She's holding the iPhone right now, y'all.
Yes. iPhone knife. So you got these three fingers right here holding the handle. And then these two on the blade. And so, you have total control.
The finger and the thumb is like right on the blade.
Mm-hmm. And so you're holding it.
And you're rocking it like a boat.
That's all right, it. Away from your body.
Knife away from the body is a great tip.
You get that, Jack? You get that?
I'm hearing that.
Knife away from the body. Cool.
Everybody's going to do a little better tonight.
My knife skills are horrible.
I got three students right now.
Eris, the chef's knife skills.
I got
class.
My knives in my backpack.
Wow.
So speaking of knives are super expensive, and you got to carry them with you and just monitor them all the time. Right?
Yes, they are like babies. They are like your children.
Wow.
So in the kitchen, they are so coveted. It's like, nobody touch my knife.
Wow.
Every chef has their own knife.
What happens if you touch chef's knife? Like if you,
they will use it on you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's sharing. Like people ask, like, oh, can I use your knife? But like, you just don't. It's not good kitchen etiquette to just walk through the kitchen and be like, oh, this looks like a good knife to use.
Exactly.
This looks like a sharp, expensive knife.
Here's a knife. I'll use this one.
I had just gotten a brand new knife. I was working at some catering company and I was looking for it on the table like, oh, snap, somebody stole it.
Oh, no.
I look around and the porter is using my brand new Japanese knife to open a box.
I lost it.
You went Gordon Ramsay. Yeah, that was before Gordon Ramsay. That's why I liked him so much, because I identified with him.
Exactly.
He's like my spirit animal.
You're very calm and centered right now, but in the kitchen, it can get like, it can get different.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen Eris heated.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Don't.
Yeah.
Don't make her go there.
Yeah. Let's stay here. This is what everybody likes.
It's a very relaxed vibe in the room.
No one gets hurt.
Yeah.
Now, if you have one lovely tip for us to consider when we cook our food, to consider, you know, as we're doing our setting or like, you know, just the whole experience.
So I would suggest that if you're cooking at home, to one, be organized.
Okay.
A lot of people don't like to cook at home because they're like, oh, it takes so much time. But if you're organized, you can cook a lot faster. So organization in your home kitchen could mean maybe pre-slicing your onions and your garlic and maybe keeping it in the freezer, and then you just pull that out and you could saute it right away. You got your base. Another thing I would suggest, too, is to taste your food while you're cooking.
Oh.
Don't just trust recipes. If they're telling you to put a pinch of salt in an entire pot roast, that is a lie.
That's stupid.
Especially that you should be putting a pinch of ATC spice.
But people do it. Yes, exactly.
I love that. ATC spice blends. As you go along. So tell us your website, because we got to wrap this show up.
Yeah, so my website is airisthechefcooks.com. That's A-I-R-I-S, thechefcooks.com. And you can find a link on there to my spice blends page. is separate, but that website is even longer than Eris the Chef Cooks, so I'll just keep you with that one.
And on Facebook, we can find you.
Oh, yeah. On Facebook, my Facebook page, I believe, is Eris the Chef Spice Blends, and I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Eris the Chef.
Super endorsing Eris's Spice Blends.
I'm buying it. I'm buying it.
Thank you.
I'm buying it.
I'm going to stick my finger in it right now.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure you will.
And that's it for this episode of Primary Food. Thank you for being here, Eris.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
I had fun.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.